David said, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. Today on Life Talk, we are continuing the message entitled Clueless. Stay tuned as we conclude this chapter of the series called The Story of the Sower. To tell us more about the message, here's Pastor Jeff.
One of the best known parables Jesus ever taught is the beautiful and powerful parable of the sower. In this profound illustration, Jesus compares the seed a farmer sows to the Word of God. The farmer is Jesus, and secondarily the church, and the ground it falls on is the human heart. Jesus says that there are four possible outcomes to the seed that is sown. Each one of these outcomes is vividly described by our Lord and really brings home the truth of the importance of how we respond to God's word sown into our lives, starting with the gospel of our salvation. It is this first outcome we will deal with today, the seed that fell on hard ground. It's all about the person who hears the gospel and fails to seriously consider it. I want to encourage you to commit to going through this life-changing series with me because we're all going to fall into one of the four categories Jesus mentions. So grab your Bible and follow along as I share part two of the message, Clueless, from our series, The Story of the Sower. An Indian man who lived on a reservation, and he went to visit a friend in New York City. And in New York City, they're walking down a main street. And there's all this traffic going back and forth and all this noise and hustle and bustle and horns honking and people talking and the clamor and clatter of a city. And all of a sudden, this Indian man said, I hear a cricket. And his friend said, how can you possibly hear a cricket in the midst of all this noise and clamor and clanging and horn honking? He said, I guarantee you I hear a cricket. And he said, no, you don't. He says, follow me. I know I do. And they crossed the street and they walked over to a little planter that was on the other side of the street. He moved a couple of leaves away and there was a cricket chirping with all of his might. And the man said, how did you hear that? He said, because where I'm from, that's all we hear at night is the noise and the song of crickets. I'm used to it. I know that sound. So I can pick it out amidst all the noise and clamor of the world. And that's exactly the way it ought to be with us, with the voice of God. Yeah. Just like that. Where we can be walking around in a noisy, clangy world and all of a sudden say, hey, hang on a minute. I hear the voice of God. How do you hear the voice of God? Because I know that voice. I spend time with that voice. I listen to that voice. And I can pick it out. And my heart is so soft towards God, I'm sensitive to it. The hard-hearted man can't hear the voice of God. Because here's the way it goes. God tells you something. Your conscience talks to you. Or the Word of God speaks to you. Or the Holy Ghost says something to you. And you ignore it. And when you do, something begins to happen. Your heart hardens. And then you ignore it again, and your heart gets harder. And you ignore it long enough where God can shout, and you don't hear it. But the sensitive heart says, I hear it. I hear that still small voice, no matter what's happening around me. How many of you want a soft heart towards God? Now, when I hear about a hard heart, if he says, because of a hard heart, this guy in the parable loses his soul, then I want to know, how do you get a hard heart? Where does a hard heart come from? And even more than that, how can I get rid of a hard heart if I've got one? If my heart has gotten hard towards God, how can I get rid of it? I'm going to deal with the first part first. I'm going to show you where a hard heart comes from, and then I'm going to show you quickly how to get rid of it. How many of you would like to know this? Amen? Now, the Bible identifies three things that cause a hard heart. The first one, believe it or not, is the devil himself. The devil himself will cause us to have a hard heart. Now, in the parable, Jesus is talking about a lost man. But I want to tell you, the devil wants to go to work on your heart too, even if you're a child of God. He wants to try to give you a hard heart towards God. But let me just show you what the Bible says. It says, you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil. Can you believe that? That when we were lost, we were obeying the devil. I don't like to hear that, but that's what it says. When we were lost, the way we were is we were obeying the devil. And he says, the devil is the commander of the powers in the unseen world. Now look carefully at this next part. He is the spirit. Notice, he's a spirit. He's not a little man dressed in a red suit with a tail and a pitchfork. The way that we like to caricature the devil. Look, he is a spirit. And what does it say he's doing? What are the next two words? At work. Everybody say at work with me. So it's telling us what the devil is at work doing. What is the devil up to? Here's what the devil is up to. He is at work. And what is he working on? Read the next words with me. In the hearts. Come on, everybody. In the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. What is the devil doing? He is right now, if you don't know Jesus, you've got a devil, you've got a spirit working on your heart to harden your heart towards God. The devil wants to harden your heart against God. He wants you to get to the place where you don't hear him anymore. You don't think about him anymore. The psalmist talking about the lost, he said, God is in none of their thoughts. They don't even think about God anymore. Well, how'd they get to that place? The devil, the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. He says he is at work. He's working. That word means expending energy, putting forth power, putting forth exertion, putting forth effort. The devil focuses on the hearts of people. And he wants our hearts shut off from God, hard towards God, insensitive to God. But I find it interesting that Paul says exactly the opposite about you and I, believers in Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says. We also thank God. This is out of 1 Thessalonians 2. We also thank God constantly for this, that when you receive, everybody say receive. Notice what happened here. They received the word of God, so they don't have a stony heart. They didn't have a stony heart. The seed penetrated their heart. They received the word of God, which you heard from us. You accepted it. So say with me, received and accepted. Here's the difference between the two. You receive it means you receive it, you listen to it, and you receive it into your heart. But accepting it means you weave it into your lifestyle. You obey the word of God. It becomes a part of you. You receive the word of God, and you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is. And what is it, everybody? It's the word of God. You're holding in your hand in your Holy Bible, that is the very word of the living God. It is God-breathed. It is God's inspired word. You're holding in your hand God talk. It is a love letter from heaven to you. It's got your name on it. And look what he says. You received it, you accepted it, and now it is at work in you. Same word, energeo. That's the Greek word, energy. So when it says about the devil, he's a spirit at work in the hearts of those who don't obey God. Conversely, when you receive the word and accept the word of God and begin to live by it, it is at work. Same word, energeo, in you believers. So God is expending energy. He is putting forth power. He is exerting himself, and he is putting forth effort to work in your heart. Faithful is he who called you, who also will do it. He that has begun a good work in you will finish it till the day of Jesus Christ. God is at work in you. I want you to say with me, the word of God is working mightily in me. Amen. So watch this. You only have two choices as a human being. You can you can reject God, and then you've got a spirit at work in your heart. It's the spirit of the enemy to turn your heart completely against God, harden your heart. But if you're a believer, you've got another spirit at work on your heart, and it's the Holy Ghost who uses the Word of God to work on your heart, and He's making you more like Jesus, more loving, more patient, more kind, more long-suffering, and all of the good things that are the fruit of the Spirit. Listen, God is working those things into your heart. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. I love that. That's telling me that when God is at work in my heart, He does two things. He makes me want His will, and then He gives me the power to do His will. Both to will and to do. So let's say it again. God is working mightily in me. So the devil is one cause of a hard heart, but there's a second cause. And the second cause is not spending time in God's Word. I'm going to tell you, not spending time in God's Word will assure that eventually you have a hard heart. Listen to what the Bible says. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? Now notice he compares the Bible to two things, the Word of God to two things. A fire. What does fire do? It burns things away. What does the Word of God do? It burns out of our hearts fleshly sin. It burns out the flesh out of our lives. And what does a hammer do? He says, a hammer, you can bring a hammer down on a great big hard rock and it will break into pieces. That's talking about the heart. So God's Word is like a hammer that breaks and softens hard hearts. Every time I get into that Word, it's softening my heart. I got into the Word this morning, not for this message, but for me. And as I read the Word, considered the Word, there was a verse that just jumped out at me. It said, be not weary in well-doing. I read that verse. I've read it a million times, but it jumped out at me. It hugged me. It kissed me. It talked to me. It said, Jeff, don't be weary in well-doing, because in due season, you're going to reap if you do not faint. Don't be weary in doing good. Don't give up. Don't put up the white flag. Don't walk away, because your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I needed to hear that. Not because things aren't going well. Things are going well. But I was about to preach three services. And so God just brought that Word out and it became alive to me. It spoke to me. And you know what it did? It strengthened and softened my heart. Amen. One night, Jesus came walking on the water to His disciples, and they were struggling against a contrary wind. They were rowing against a wind that was against them. And look what the Bible says. It says, they're rowing away, and all of a sudden, they see something. They see a figure walking towards them on the water. And it says, and when they saw Him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost. Look at their reaction. They cried out. That means they screamed. For they all saw Him and were troubled. But immediately He talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. Then He went up into the boat to them, and the wind stopped. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled. Look at the four ways their reaction is described. They cried out. They were troubled. They were greatly amazed, and they marveled. And we look at that and we say, well, I don't blame them. But the Bible does. Because the Bible says they reacted this way because they did not consider the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hard. Now, here's what it's telling us. Before this miracle of walking on the water, Jesus had a great crowd following Him, and they looked hungry. And so He said to His disciples, have you got anything to eat? And they said, no, not for this crowd. What do you have? Well, we've only got five loaves and two fish. Jesus said, give me what you've got. I only need what you've got. Give me what you've got. He can make a miracle out of what you've got. He just said, give me what you've got. So they said, well, okay, here's five loaves of bread and two fish. Good luck. And it says, Jesus took it. Everybody say, took it. See, when you give Him what you've got, He takes it. It says He took it. He blessed it. Wouldn't you like what you've got being blessed? He took what they had He blessed what they had. He broke what they had. And then he gave what they had. And I've often tried to imagine, how did this happen? They had baskets, and they had these 5 loaves and 2 fishes amongst 12 men, and they start handing it out. And every time they handed out some of that bread, more appeared. And then they handed out more and more appeared. They handed out more and more appeared. I'm telling you, by the time I get to the end of that crowd, I'm having a Holy Ghost fit. Because I'm watching a miracle happen here. I'm giving away bread and more appears. More fish and more appears. I can't give it away because it keeps reappearing. And it was an absolute, on-the-spot, incredible, unprecedented miracle. And they get to the end of the crowd, and not only have they fed the whole crowd, they've got 12 baskets left over. But the Bible says, catch this, everybody, the Bible says they didn't consider it. They didn't think about it. They didn't ponder this. It says, they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Remember what I said about a hard heart and the word understanding? Understanding means you don't consider, you don't think about what the word is telling you, what the word is doing. And Jesus was the word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. So when they watched him doing this, hey, if I saw that, I'm considering it. I'm going to think about it. But you know what they did? They just kept going right down the road, and they did not stop and think, this man is not a normal man. We are not following a first century hippie with sandals and long blonde hair and blue eyes who is saying nice, peaceful things like a good peace child. This man is not subject to natural law. This man is God. He is God. I'm following God wrapped in skin. They didn't consider it. And because they didn't consider it and think about what they were seeing, think about what he was doing, their hearts remained hard. Hard hearts are hard because they never truly ponder. Think about, meditate on, chew on the works or the word of God. You don't just read the word of God like you read a newspaper. When you read a verse, you stop and think about what you just read. You ponder it. You chew on it. You break it apart. You consider it. There are a lot of Christians that still don't understand who Jesus really is. That the very universe is literally being held together by the word of his power. History is going to end at the feet of Jesus Christ. He is Lord of lords and King of kings and the soon coming king, and he's going to be the ruler of all the universe for all time. Can I just say it? He's the man. He's the man. But they didn't think about it. Jesus marveled at their hard hearts. He said, why do you reason because you have no bread? Don't you yet perceive or understand? Is your heart still hardened? For they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. And then Jesus goes and describes to them what a hard heart is. Having eyes, don't you see? Having ears, don't you hear? And do you not remember? Jesus is saying a hard heart doesn't grow. A hard heart doesn't prosper. A hard heart doesn't discern that who Jesus really is. A hard heart doesn't look through eyes of faith. That's a hard heart. So the devil, neglect of God's word, and one last thing will cause a hard heart. You could probably guess it. Sin, S-I-N, sin, will give you a hard heart. The Bible says, exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Here's why sin is deceitful. Because it promises you what it can't deliver. It's a liar. When the devil brings to you a temptation, in that temptation is always a promise. If you do this, it's going to benefit you this way, that way, or another way. You're going to get something beneficial out of it. And if he could not sell sin that way, nobody would ever do it. But he's so good at it that people keep on sinning because they believe somehow they're going to benefit from sin when nobody ever does. Hey, sinners are never winners. Let me tell you the truth about sin. If you decide to go sin, it'll take you farther than you meant to go. It'll cost you more than you meant to pay every time. And it'll keep you longer than you meant to stay. People say, well, I'm just going to dabble in sin and then I'll get out. But you end up going way further in it than you ever thought you would, because it's a trap, it's a snare, it's a deception. And you end up going farther than you ever thought you would. And then you say, well, I'm going to try it just once. It won't be that big of a cost. I'll be okay. I won't pay out that much for my sin. But you end up always paying way more than you thought. There's always a higher price tag to sin than what the devil lets you in on. Then you say, well, I'm going to go in, I'm going to try it, I'm going to get out. But you end up staying longer than you ever intended to stay. That's the way sin works. It's deceptive. Now, I know what you're thinking, and I'm about to give the answer. Well, then how do I get rid of a hard heart, Jeff? How can I keep my heart soft? The Bible says that Hosea told a backslidden Israel. He said, plow up the hard ground of your hearts. For now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. So everybody say, plow up the hard ground of your heart. Now we know what a plow does. You put a plow against ground that is really hard, that can't receive seed. And it goes plowing up that ground, breaking it up where it's softer and more receptive to seed. You plow it. And here's the way we plow our hearts. Quickly, regular repentance. Regular repentance. Never give a sin longer than an hour-long shelf life. Repent quickly. Repent quickly. Keep short accounts with God. Keep short accounts. The Bible says, if you repent, I will put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. That's the promise. That if we repent, when we repent, it's like a plow going across our heart. And it plows up our hard hearts. And God says, now I'm going to give you a new heart, a soft heart, a pliable heart, a sensitive heart. Second way, obedience. Hebrews 12 says, make straight paths for your feet. Straight paths. So that what is lame, in this case, a hard heart, may not be dislocated, but let that hard heart rather be healed. When we repent, we turn from the sin. Here's our sin. It means I turn around. The sin's behind me. And I'm walking the other way. It says, when I walk the other way, God's word and God's spirit's going to tell me how to live. I'm to live that narrow road that leads to life. Of righteousness, of obedience, that life of obedience, where I forgive others, I don't go where sinners go, I try to keep my life clean, I worship God, I'm faithful to church, I'm in fellowship, I spend time in the Word and in prayer, I live that life, I live that narrow life. Listen, I live a narrow life and it's a happy life. I have found that the Bible is true when it says, the way of the sinner is hard, but the way of the righteous is peaceful. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so the narrow road that leads to life, though it is narrow and though it is restricted, it leads to life and it leads to joy. So say with me, repentance, obedience. And then the last thing, of course, time in God's word. David said, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So we've seen the devil can give you a hard heart. We've seen that sin gives a hard heart. We've seen that not spending time in God's word will give you a hard heart. It will. But if you practice repentance, obedience, and time in God's word, here's a promise. You will never, ever, ever develop a hard heart.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Pastor Jeff. If you happen to miss part of this broadcast, or if you want to listen to this message again, you can do so by visiting our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you will have access to plenty of resources available to you. You can download and listen to our daily podcast messages to start your day off right and encourage you throughout the day. You can also get full access to current and previous Life Talk Radio broadcasts and catch up on any sermons that you have missed. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, give us a call toll free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support of Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111, or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time for another exciting message entitled Rootless in this sermon series called The Story of the Sower. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.